Imagine handing the keys to your company's bank accounts
Yeah.
to this brilliant intern who hallucinates half the time.
Right.
That is essentially what most construction firms are doing with enterprise AI right now.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone wants to talk about the sheer magic of artificial intelligence.
Hmm.
You know,
yeah.
They highlight these incredible language models that can like write poetry or generate software code in seconds. But in the real world, inside complex, high-stakes businesses, throwing AI at disorganized corporate folders doesn't produce magic. It just produces a massive, expensive mess.
It creates a massive liability, honestly. What we see happening across industries is a company buying access to a state-of-the-art AI model, pointing it at a decade's worth of messy, unstructured data, and just sort of hoping the machine figures it out.
Which, of course, results in staggering compute bills, widespread AI hallucinations, and potential compliance nightmares. Okay, let's unpack this, because today we're looking at an in-depth analysis of a specialized operational architecture firm called Structured Layer. And our mission for you on this deep dive is to explain the exact four layers this firm says are absolutely required to build a reliable, hallucination-free AI system.
Yeah, and we will be zeroing in specifically on the two most critical foundational elements. So that's the data layer and the workflow layer. And then, you know, we need to bridge the gap from the technology to the finance side.
Right. Show me the money.
Exactly. We are going to examine how this highly structured approach generates immediate, tangible return on investment, particularly for architecture, engineering, and construction firms, which are often referred to as the AEC sector.
And the AEC sector really is the perfect stress test for this technology.
Wow.
But before we jump into the solution, you really need to see why off-the-shelf AI fails so spectacularly in these environments. Structured Layer operates under this central mantra, structure before automation. Why is that the starting line?
Well, it stems from what they identify as a fundamental context crisis. I mean, if you look at a modern AEC firm, you are dealing with multi-million dollar projects scattered across like a dozen disconnected software platforms.
Oh, at least a dozen.
Right. You have project managers tracking milestones in Procore, but then your accounting department is paying the bills out of Sage. Meanwhile, document control is happening over in SharePoint. There are these random government bid portals, and a million critical commercial decisions are just, well, buried in endless email threads.
Yeah, and because those specialized platforms don't natively speak to each other, the connective tissue between them is usually just manual human effort. You have people literally copying and pasting numbers from one screen to another, which is exactly where the context gets lost and the errors start to creep in.
And that manual bridge creates a massive operational deficit. Think about a single entity, let's say a specific building project or a subcontractor. It might exist under conflicting naming conventions across five different systems.
Oh, like one system says Smith Brothers LLC, another says Smith Bros, and a third just uses like a random vendor ID number.
Exactly. And when your corporate data lacks a durable identity like that, the business suffers. You get missed pipeline opportunities, repeated manual verification, and just a massive loss of context when a project moves from, say, the estimating team to the actual construction delivery team.
And that structural chaos really explains why the standard approach to AI readiness is just a complete disaster. Companies think they can just take all those scattered, conflicting documents and dump them into a data lake for the AI to read.
Yeah, but feeding an advanced language model, hundreds of mixed, unstructured documents without any semantic layer of authority, it destroys the economic and operational viability of the AI. We are talking about feeding the machine superseded drawing revisions, duplicate subcontractor proposals, outdated internal meeting notes.
Right. So it's like feeding raw corporate data to an AI is like hiring a genius assistant, locking them in a hoarder's garage, and asking them to find a single valid contract.
That's a perfect analogy. The assistant is brilliant, but the environment makes it literally impossible for them to succeed. If you ask that AI for a critical deadline, it might synthesize an answer from, I don't know, a 2014 contract, a draft proposal that was never even approved, and a sticky note from a fired employee.
Wow.
And then it presents that answer to you with absolute confidence.
And on top of giving you the wrong answer, it's charging you a fortune to do it right.
Yes, because it is constantly churning. Processing all that unstructured data is expensive. It forces the AI to constantly re-index unchanged files, repeat context for every single query, and synthesize answers from completely unverified sources. So your API compute costs just skyrocket, while your confidence in the decisions completely plummets.
Which brings us to how Structured Layer actually, cleans out the garage. They use a four-tier architectural framework. And what stands out immediately in their analysis is that they actively avoid forcing clients into a disruptive rip and replace.
Right. They aren't trying to delete your existing tools.
Yeah. No getting rid of Microsoft 365 or Sage. Instead, they engineer an operating layer over them. So the four layers are, one, the data layer, two, the workflow layer, three, the AI and automation layer, and four, business outputs.
Let's focus really heavily on layer one, the data layer, because this is the bedrock. You cannot build automated workflows on unstructured data. Doing that is like laying high-speed train tracks over a swamp. The train might be fast, but it is going to derail instantly.
Right.
You have to start with a foundational layer that creates absolute truth.
Okay, the analysis calls the mechanism for creating this truth deterministic entity resolution. I need you to translate that into plain English. How does it physically take the chaos we just described and organize it?
Sure. Let's trace a real-world scenario. Your enterprise receives an email from a vendor, a PDF attachment of an invoice, and a portal notification about a delivery. All three of those are about the exact same construction project. In a normal environment, those inputs create three duplicated conflicting entries in your database. But deterministic entity resolution uses metadata weighting and contextual ID matching to intercept those inputs. It looks at project numbers, email domains, timestamp data, and forces those disparate inputs to map to a single unified project record.
So it creates a stable, durable identifier. It's essentially giving every single piece of data a permanent name tag that the whole company agrees on. So it structurally links, like a construction drawing, to its parent project, its current revision status, and the human assigned to approve it.
Exactly. And what's fascinating here is how that single point of truth sets up the security architecture. Layer 1 embeds strict permission filters at the record level, built on the principle of least privilege access. Structured layer calls this giving the AI epistemic grounding.
Okay, epistemic grounding. I love the concept, but mechanically, how does that actually protect a company? Let's say we have tied all this disparate corporate data together into one unified layer. My immediate fear is that the AI will accidentally read the CEO's HR files or, you know, sensitive pricing data and leak that information to a junior project manager who just asks a seemingly innocent prompt.
Well, epistemology is the study of knowledge, like how we know what we know. Giving an AI epistemic grounding means the system doesn't just read words on a page. It structurally understands the metadata tags we just talked about.
Right.
It inherently knows which record is the authoritative current version. But more importantly, the access permissions are baked directly into the data payload before it is ever sent to the AI model.
So it's basically like giving the AI a pair of glasses that literally filters out documents the user doesn't have security clearance to see. Like, if a junior manager asks the AI to summarize all project risks, the AI is structurally blocked from even seeing the financial risks that only the CEO has access to.
Yeah, exactly. The AI doesn't just decide not to share the sensitive data. It doesn't even know that data exists for that specific query. The data identity and the security permissions are basically fused together in the foundation. This completely eliminates the risk of inadvertently leaking confidential commercial pricing or sensitive HR data across departmental boundaries.
Wow. Okay. So you've locked the data down. The AI knows what the data is, and it knows exactly who is allowed to look at it. But data doesn't just sit there in a database, especially in construction. I mean, it moves. Bids have to be approved. Invoices have to be routed. Submittals have to be reviewed. If you let an AI move that data blindly, you just have a new disaster on your hands. Which naturally transitions us into layer two, the workflow layer.
Right. This is where the company establishes operating control. The workflow layer dictates how work actually progresses between these verified records, the software systems, and the human operators. It relies on explicit triggers and formal handoffs rather than just hoping a script runs perfectly every time.
And the documentation highlights a key mechanism here called engineered exception handling. How does that differ from traditional automation? Because I know a lot of companies have tried basic RPA, robotic process automation, and just gotten completely burned.
Because traditional robotic process automation relies on incredibly fragile scripts. If a basic extraction script hits an anomaly, like an unmatched SysCip record or weirdly formatted invoice, it usually just crashes silently. Or worse, it blindly pushes incorrect data into a live production environment without telling anyone.
Yeah, that's terrifying.
Structured layer designs their workflow layer to anticipate the messiness of the real world. They route uncertain information into dedicated exception review queues.
Give us a granular example of what that looks like on the ground.
Sure. Imagine an optical character recognition tool scanning a complex architectural drawing. It is pulling out room dimensions, but it hits a handwritten dimension that is smudged and unreadable.
Happens all the time.
Right. So instead of the script crashing or guessing and putting some wild number into your estimating software, the workflow halts the automation just for that specific item. It routes the smudged drawing into a queue and pings a named human estimator to manually validate that single dimension.
Ah, so it flags it and says, hey, human, I need help with this one specific thing, but I'll keep processing the rest. And this actually ties into another major structural component of Layer 2, which is human approval gates. The system enforces hard boundaries where AI is only permitted to prepare work, but a human must authorize it.
Yes. That rigid distinction between preparation and authority is vital. The AI can summarize a 300-page request for, quote, extract the required fields, even draft the client correspondence. But it is structurally prohibited from submitting a binding contractual commitment or processing a financial payment without a human physically clicking approve.
Okay, I have to push back on this a little bit because I know exactly what operations directors are thinking right now.
Go for it.
If we still have humans clicking approve on everything, aren't we just creating a new bottleneck? Like, doesn't forcing a human to review the work completely defeat the purpose of buying an automation system to speed things up?
It is a very common objection, but you really have to understand the sheer financial stakes in the AEC industry. We are not talking about automating a marketing newsletter or a customer service chatbot. A rogue automation unilaterally changing a commercial contract or submitting a binding bid with an incorrect zero could literally bankrupt a construction company. The consequences of an error are existential.
Ah, so the friction is the feature.
The friction is the safety net. Layer 2 ensures absolute control over consequential operational state changes. A human-in-the-loop checkpoint insulates the business from catastrophic errors. And the reality of the math is that safe automation is vastly faster than reckless automation. I mean, if your team has to spend 3 weeks manually undoing a disastrous automated financial error, you haven't saved any time at all.
Right. Slow is smooth and smooth is fast.
Exactly.
So we've locked down the data in layer 1. We've put our human checkpoints in place in layer 2. The foundation is solid. Now we can finally let the AI loose to do its job safely. Let's dig into layers 3 and 4.
Yeah, so layer 3 is the AI and automation layer. Structured layer frames this as bounded assistance. The AI is not given unfettered access to your entire corporate network to just crawl around and find answers. It operates as a bounded AI agent.
Meaning it only gets a heavily defined context package.
Precisely. It is granted access only to specific software tools, limited data fields, and approved retrieval sources. And, you know, bounding an agent doesn't magically eliminate all AI hallucinations, but it drastically limits the blast radius. If the AI only has access to 3 specific verify documents to answer a question, and it cannot execute unilateral changes without human approval, the potential damage of a probabilistic error is contained.
There is also a brilliant cost-saving mechanism built into Layer 3 called dynamic model routing. Because if you just dump everything into the biggest, most advanced frontier model, your API costs are going to destroy your budget.
Oh, absolutely. Dynamic routing optimizes those API costs on a task-by-task basis. So if the workflow just needs to extract a standard due date from a standardized form, the system routes that task to a smaller, cheaper, much faster model. But if the workflow requires complex contractual reasoning, like, say, identifying indemnity clauses across multiple legal documents, the system dynamically routes that specific task to an advanced frontier model from OpenAI or Anthropic. You only pay for the heavy computing power when the task actually requires it.
And here's where it's really interesting, because all of this underlying architecture, the data, the workflows, the routed AI, feeds directly into layer 4, business outputs.
Mm-hmm.
This structural traceability completely changes how executive management operates.
It creates dashboards that actually mean something rather than just vanity metrics.
Right, because every single metric has an inspectable lineage. Think about the standard executive experience in construction. An executive is looking at a dashboard and sees a sudden negative cost variance on a major project. Usually, they have to call 5 different people, who then spend 3 days manually reconciling spreadsheets just to figure out what went wrong.
But with this 4-layer architecture, that executive can literally click on the negative variance on the dashboard and trace the math all the way back through the workflow layer, directly to the authoritative source document in the data layer. They can see exactly which smudged invoice caused the variance and which human approved it.
The manual, error-prone reporting reconciliation that plagues construction firms just vanishes. Executive trust in operational data is fully restored because the black box is gone. You can see the exact mechanics of where the numbers came from.
And that transition from chaos to trust is really the perfect bridge to our final major topic, which is the return on investment. We've established that this is a highly secure, incredibly logical, technical architecture. But a beautiful architecture doesn't matter if it doesn't move the needle. How does this actually make or save money for these firms?
Because at the end of the day, AEC operates on razor-thin margins. This can't just be a science experiment for the IT department. It has to hit the bottom line.
Right. So Structured Layer drives immediate ROI by targeting what they call priority workflows. They have mapped out a library of these processes, focusing explicitly on the ones that cause the highest operational friction and carry the most commercial risk.
Let's paint a picture of that. What is a priority workflow that directly impacts revenue?
Well, the RFQ to bid workflow is a prime example. This involves taking in massive bid documents, matching them to the right estimators, tracking rigid due dates, and managing the final submissions. If a general contractor has a breakdown in this workflow, say, an invitation to bid gets lost in a spam folder, or an estimator accidentally bids based on outdated structural drawings, it directly hits their top-line pipeline and win rate.
And missing a bid because of an administrative error is just a financial bloodbath.
It is entirely unforced margin loss. Fixing that workflow immediately increases revenue potential by ensuring every viable opportunity is accurately captured and bid on time.
And what about protecting the margins they already have? Because once a project is won, things get even more complicated.
That brings us to the estimate to project handoff workflow. This converts awarded estimates into controlled project setups. It locks in the scope, the assumptions, and the risks.
And that handoff from the pre-construction team, you know, the people who price the job to the site team actually building it, is notoriously messy. A pre-construction team might hand over a 200-page estimate, and a critical assumption about soil conditions just gets lost in an email attachment.
And that exact scenario is where catastrophic margin erosion happens before a single shovel even hits the dirt. By structuring that specific handoff workflow in Layer 2, they prevent the loss of accepted scope and protect the estimated profit margin.
Now, anyone who has ever purchased enterprise software in the construction industry knows it is notoriously painful. Usually involves a massive upfront capital expenditure, prolonged implementation cycles, and a huge risk that nobody in the field will even use the system. How does Structured Layer de-risk the purchase for a firm that is rightfully skeptical of AI promises?
Well, they use a highly modular, phased commercial sequence. The client does not have to buy a massive monolithic technology package on day one. Diagnosis, design, and implementation are separated into distinct commercial decisions.
Looking at their pricing architecture, I am absolutely fascinated by their level two engagement. They call it the Bounded AI Agent Pilot, and it runs somewhere between $6,500 and $12,500. For an enterprise handling multi-million dollar projects, that is practically pocket change.
It is a brilliant strategy for addressing AI skepticism. Instead of executives debating in a boardroom whether AI will work for their specific company, they just run a pilot. They bound a very specific high-friction task, for example, extracting complex compliance dates from hundreds of subcontractor emails. And they run the company's own historical data through that bounded AI agent.
And they get hard empirical evidence. You aren't guessing. You see the exact hallucination rates, the dynamic API costs, the human correction rates, all before you commit tens of thousands of dollars to an enterprise-wide rollout.
And if we connect this to the bigger picture, it fundamentally shifts the dynamic from a speculative sales pitch to an engineering reality check. The pilot gives the company four evidence-based choices. Stop the initiative entirely, retain it just for human assistance, automate a bounded portion, or proceed to full production.
I also noticed they have explicit complexity allowances built into their pricing model. You aren't paying an artificially inflated baseline price to cover a vendor's unknown variables.
Right. You only pay for the friction that actually exists in your specific environment. So if Structured Layer needs to build custom browser automation to scrape a legacy government portal because it lacks modern APIs, there is a specific transparent fee for that complexity. But if you have clean APIs, you don't pay the fee.
So what does this all mean? We synthesized this entire deep dive for you. Building a reliable AI system in a complex enterprise is not about buying access to the smartest language model on the market. It is entirely about establishing epistemic grounding through a rigid data layer, and then enforcing strict human-in-the-loop accountability through a workflow layer.
That is the core takeaway. And this raises a crucial point, which I think is a perfect final thought for you to mull over. We know that raw AI models are inevitably going to commoditize. In a few short years, highly advanced language models will be cheap and accessible to literally every company on Earth.
So having the smartest AI won't be a differentiator anymore because your competitors will have the exact same model.
Exactly. If everyone has a Genius Assistant, the Genius Assistant is no longer a competitive advantage. In the next decade, a company's only true competitive advantage might be the rigorous, epistemically grounded context architecture they have wrapped around their own data. The winners won't be the ones with the best AI. They will be the ones whose AI actually knows what is going on.
It's not about the assistant. It's about the state of the hoarder's garage. If your garage is perfectly organized, your assistant can actually help you win. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Keep exploring, keep questioning, and we will catch you next time.